Hey there, welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where real people from the trans community get together to share their stories, struggles, and victories.
Get ready for some genuine and relatable conversations that dive into the heart of the trans experience and beyond.
We have so much to share, so grab your headphones and let's dive into the awesome and diverse world of becoming and living our own truth.
Hi, welcome to Trans Experience. This is LG.
This is Madison.
And today we're going to be talking about the importance of having family support.
Well, I think it's important to define family. We have chosen family. We have our blood family. We have, you know, friends that become family. So there's a wide variety of family that we're going to be speaking on today.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thanks. With our new microphones.
Right. We do have new microphones.
I'll have to watch my laughing so I can't back away from this one.
Oh, she could. So how was your week, by the way?
It was emotional, you know, knowing that this topic was coming up and knowing that I now have an amazing support system from my family, both chosen and blood, that I didn't always have. But I think it's important to understand that family and their support, whether it be chosen or blood, makes a huge difference in transitioning for those of us that do decide to transition.
Well, and I think also, like, even whether you are transitioning or not, when you make a choice in your life, whether it's, you know, your identity, the career that you want to take, the sport that you want to take, if you want to venture into new business, I think that support in the early stages of that makes the difference for a more successful transition or decision that you make. Amen. At the end of the day, it is your decision and it is what you do for yourself that takes you to the top and takes you to that success. But having that support, it's freaking amazing. And it really makes it easier.
Yeah. And, you know, having that support that also tells you, like, you know, hey, we don't necessarily agree with what you're doing right now, but we love you, you know. And I think that I had a lot of that, whereas my sister, especially, and mom too, they were very much like, we don't understand what's happening. We don't know if we necessarily agree with it, but if this is what you need to do to be happy right now, then go for it.
See, for myself, I didn't have the support from my mother. I kind of had the support from my siblings, but they supported me as much as they could with what they understood.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that definitely my mom, I think that if I would have had the support early in my teenage year, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would have been easier for me and I would have made better decisions. Now, do I blame my mom or anybody else for it? No. I mean, it was my call. It was my decisions. It just made it a little bit harder to open up to somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was heartbroken, I couldn't talk to my siblings. I couldn't talk to my mom. I really couldn't talk to anyone because I didn't have that support. And nobody knew that at that time I was, you know, gay.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had my heart broken or anything, I remember the Waiting to Exhale movie came out.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? Okay.
And my sister, my older sister had bought my little sister this huge teddy bear. And I had, like, I was crushing on this boy, and we kind of went out for a few times, but shit went down, and he was older than me.
Of course.
Because why wouldn't he be? I was just 14. So I remember, like, at night, I didn't have my siblings either were out with their partners. My mom was in her room with her husband, and I would be left alone. And I had that Waiting to Exhale CD, and I would play that song, like, why does it hurt so bad?
Oh, I love that movie so much. Right? Okay.
And I would hug that bear, wishing that it could hug me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't have anyone to express my feelings to. Like, I couldn't be my authentic self to anyone. And I remember, like, sometimes my mom would have issues with her husband, or my siblings would have issues with their respective others. And they would come up to me and, like, hey, can you write a letter for them?
Mm-hmm.
And I would write on those letters what I would say to somebody that I was dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would, in my head, I would travel to this world where I had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
So I do.
It was challenging because it prevented me from facing my emotions and it prevented me from trusting anyone or opening up to anyone.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a teddy bear, but I had this obsession with those smiley faces, those yellow smiley faces before emojis were a thing. They had these yellow smiley faces all over and I was obsessed with those. And my grandma still picks up smiley face things for me. But the reason behind it was kind of the same thing, was that if I surround myself with this happiness that's material, that's on a pillow, that's on a sheet, that's on a plate, then I'll be happy, right? Because, I mean, that just makes sense. Math, basically.
Yeah, emotional math.
It didn't do shit. But in my mind, if I thought that I would surround myself with these smiley faces, that I would become this smiley face person. It didn't work, obviously. But at some point I knew that these material things, like the teddy bear, isn't what is going to bring me the happiness that I knew I wanted and needed.
And it's sad because, like, we have so much potential. And a lot of us throw our youth away trying to feel that emotion, mm-hmm. trying to find that support. And sadly enough, some of us choose sex or we choose drugs.
Yep.
And at times, we choose both.
Well, because the thing is with the sex and the drugs is that they don't care who you are mm-hmm. in those circles. They just want to make sure that you're going to be doing the same things they're doing. And as long as you're doing the same things they're doing, you are their best friend. You are their wife, their husband, the baby mama, baby daddy, whatever you want to be to them, they're going to let you be that as long as you're providing all of these alcohol, drugs, sex. And so, like, for me, that was a trap. I definitely fell into it. I definitely fell into this world of they like me. These people at the bar like me. Whereas I was convinced my family didn't like me, you know, and that really led me down a path, a really, really horrible path of, I don't know how I survived it, but I did.
So. Amen to that. And I'm grateful that you did.
Yeah.
So just for some of you guys that don't know this, Madison and myself, we're both in recovery. And that's actually how we met. We met through a fellowship meeting. And I love that you touch on that subject because this is the thing. For me, at that point, because I didn't understand that my family just lacked the capacity or the intel to understand what I was becoming, it's not that they didn't love me, it's just that they didn't know how. But what they didn't understand is that made me feel worthless. Mm-hmm. That made me feel, and that's why, like in the last episode, I talk about, like, I felt ugly. A lot of that had to do with that, mm-hmm. you know, because I felt nobody will want me, nobody ever will want to be with me. And that led me to believe that people just wanted to be with me if they were high. Mm-hmm. If they were drunk, then they're totally going to be okay with me.
Yeah.
Because you have to be high to sleep with me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And like I said, now that I look at pictures from me back in the day, I was gorgeous.
I wasn't. Oh my God. This is 4 years ago. 4 years ago, it was not pretty.
This is an everyday battle with her. She is gorge. Just because she don't see it, don't mean she ain't.
No, 4 years ago, it was bad. It was real bad. I felt awkward kind of being around my family because I knew that to them, I was just a boy playing dress up, you know?
Again, wonderful.
I'm telling you, it was so difficult to get past that, still is, to think that they actually see me as who I am as opposed to me just playing dress up. I think we've gotten there. But for me, my family, there was a difference between love and acceptance. Love and acceptance are not the same thing.
Definitely.
And I had to find out the hard way that love and acceptance were two different things. Acceptance is just that, acceptance. You understand that they're going through this and you're willing to go through it with them. Love is a different beast. So my family loved me. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept me. And I thought that those two things were intertwined, love and acceptance. So at 30 years old, I was having to find out that just because they love me doesn't mean they accept me. And that made it worse because now I was having to figure out how to get through the day knowing that my family didn't accept me and that they only saw me playing dress up and they didn't think that this was a long-term thing.
Sorry, so I'm a big girl. And I just heard like, wee, 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 outside, like for the elote, the corn. And my attention just went like, squirrel. Well, in this case, corn.
Like, she need to stop and go get some?
Right?
We need to
thank you for listening to us. This has been. No, but like, you know what's funny? And I would add one more thing to what you said, which is respect. You know what I mean? For me, there's love, acceptance, and respect.
Yeah.
Now what I understand is like my family, it started with love. Mm-hmm. You know, we love you but from afar. Mm-hmm. Then it turned into respect. And now we're on the acceptance stage. Respect means like, look, I don't agree with what you do and I don't like what you do, mm-hmm. but I'm still going to allow you to be you. And now it's more like, hey girl, how you doing? Like that acceptance of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think that before they could accept me, and that's why I go back to mental health. I had to do the inner work because I needed to accept me. Because once I accept me, it's easier for others to accept me.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, is it the same with my mother? Definitely not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My mom grew up in different times. My mom is a stubborn lady and she's a strong character lady. But the one thing that I will never doubt is that she loves me. Mm-hmm. She's been there for me every single time it's gotten dark. Mm-hmm. You know, when the whole world turns their back on me, I turn my back on the world. Hakuna Matata. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be more mature, but that's where my mind went when I said that.
Corn.
Right. But, you know, whenever the world turned her back on me, the only person standing on my corner was her, bitching, moaning, screaming, kicking, mm-hmm. yelling. But she was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've done the work, the inside work, you know, to understand myself, to understand others and all of that, now I see how deep her love is. Now I understand how much she loves me. And just because she doesn't accept nor respect, because she...
just because she doesn't Hakuna Matata your ass.
She does not. She does not Hakuna Matata shit. You know what I mean? Because, and I get it. Like, I was a trans woman at that point. Well, at the beginning, I was a gay guy trying to live life mm-hmm. in a world that is not as easy.
Listen, we wake up and go, fuck, it's here again.
You know, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I understand why my mom was so tough on me. Because here I am, no degree, no education, no money, mm-hmm. I was irresponsible as fuck. I had no sense of discipline. Not that I have any of those things today, but I'm working towards bettering myself. It's progress, not perfection. But I see why she worried and why, to her, she was throwing her baby out into a world that was gonna eat her alive.
Mm-hmm. And my mom always said the hardest thing for her with this is, how are people going to treat you? She says, I've seen so many people throughout your entire life be so awful to you. Why would you make it easier for them to be worse to you? And she has a point. You know, our moms have a point, especially because they think that maternal instinct is to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what we're doing and our irresponsibilities, as the Pickles family would say in Rugrats. But I think that their ability to protect us despite us is, you know, kind of where we are the lucky ones. And for my mom, she did the work. In 2019, there was a dark time. My mom called me and told me that her and my grandma had talked and that they would rather me not come to Thanksgiving and Christmas that year. And so I overdosed that night in my hotel room. Dark stuff. Very dark stuff. Mom didn't know about it for a long time. And then I found rehab and I told her about that I was going to rehab. She asked if I needed anything and I said no. And next thing you know, she came visit me a couple months later and brought some stuff with her, like razors and some makeup and some clothes that my aunt had gotten rid of. And she says, honey, I'm going to try because I don't know how, but I'm going to try. That was her letting me know that she didn't understand it and she had no idea how to move forward with it. But she knew that I was her child. And that this was something that was important to me. And it had been important to me for years. I just didn't know how to say it, obviously.
And I think that one of the most important things that we can touch upon is, look, I don't know what's the appropriate age to start your transitioning. I don't know when you should do this or when you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you this. What I know for myself as a young adult is that I needed support.
Mm-hmm.
And if the doors would have been open in the right places, I would have made better choices. Today, I have two trans nephews, one gay nephew, and another member of my family who is bisexual. And to see my siblings being so supportive of them uh-huh. and being able to be there for them and allowing them to live their life, it's not that they cater to their every single need.
No.
Because there's things that they're like, look, not right now.
And that's why they're the parents.
You know what I mean? And I can respect that. But for me, that is a game changer, especially when you're so susceptible to suggestions and all of that. Because when I'm barely becoming an adult, it's easy for me to be manipulated into the wrong decisions. When I allow someone that has second motives to guide me, I'm probably not going to make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
But when the someone is a parent, an uncle, aunt, you know, someone that cares about the individual, their intentions are in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So if you suspect that someone might be, like, just offer them your support without offering your support.
And sometimes by support, you know what I mean? All they need is someone to listen.
Exactly.
Nobody's asking you to solve their problems and take them to, you know, all these places and do all these things. Like, just listen, you know, or lead them in the right direction. I mean, I've had several people that are in my tiny little town of Globe that have reached out to me with numbers and names of people that they say, can you just guide them somewhere? And I'm like, absolutely. Where am I going to guide them to? I don't know. But I'm going to listen and we're going to start there. But I just want to touch though, my mom and my sister are the ones that did all the work. They're the ones that said, we need to learn about this because unlike you, I don't have any other queer family in my family. That's it. I'm the only one. And that makes it 10 times harder because now I'm the only one teaching them these things. So they're only getting one viewpoint and that's mine. So I try to be this extra informative person with them when they do ask questions. But I can only speak on my behalf, just like we're doing with this podcast. we're only sharing what we have experienced because we are not medical professionals. We are not mental health professionals. We are just two trans women trying to live our lives the best that we can and be as successful as we can with it while tackling recovery.
Amen to that. And to what you said right now is I actually was the first queer person in my entire family. And I didn't understand why. You know, I thought that I was being punished. I thought that I was all by myself, that I was fighting a lonesome battle. And what I didn't understand is that I was being a trailblazer for those members of my family that were coming behind me, my nieces, my nephew, you know, like those people that were a part of my family. I think that my siblings are more able to be supportive because they had me in their life.
Oh, absolutely.
You get what I'm saying?
If my nieces or nephews, if something were to happen, my family knows 100% how to do things better this time around. At least I would hope so.
And here's the thing, like there's so many resources out there. We have the Southwest Health Center. Mm-hmm. We have, Trans Spectrum.
Transgender Map.
Transgender Map. We also have Gender Identity Center, which is, there's one in Tucson, and there's another one in, let me tell you, because I'm Googling this as we speak, because I prepare so well. But there's also this number that you can call if you need any information, and it's 480-349-3671. And there's resources out there for young kids, for young adults, for older adults, for adults. Like, there's all this support, and all you got to do is reach out. Don't stay in the darkness. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Even whether you're 14 or whether you're 80, if you need the support, reach out for it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it right now, you know what? Visit us on facebook.com/trans experience3. Right? That's it.
No.
Yeah, that is it.
It's just trans experience.
It is free, though.
At facebook.com?
I think, no, it's the other way around.
Okay, we have to edit all that together now.
We'll definitely.
You definitely created a lot of work for yourself there.
I did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just want to get back on topic, though, because I think that, you know, when it comes to family, we've already said there's several ways to call family family. And for me, now that I have chosen family, my chosen family has really helped me kind of navigate the waters of my blood family and not taking things so literal all the time. Like when they do disappoint me or they do hurt my feelings or they misgender me or they use my legal name instead of my chosen name, things like that. Like I don't take those things so personal now because my chosen family has stepped in and really helped me understand that they mean well. They're not trying to make me feel isolated like they had in the past. It wasn't intentional. It was 100% them just not knowing any better. And now that they know better, they do better, you know? And I don't know if we would have gotten where we got without my mom and my sister being the ones kind of forging the way of, okay, we don't understand this, but we got to love her, you know? And they always said, you can't kick me off the team, so.
So you think that sometimes one person in your family could lead the way for everybody else being able to be on board?
Absolutely. I think my sister and my cousins did.
And
my female cousins are the ones that told my grandma at Thanksgiving on 2019 when I was overdosing in the hotel room that it was not a family gathering without me. And they're the ones that are like, oh, well, I guess you're right. And then they were like, well, we're not going to come. If we're not all invited, we're not coming. And that was when my family really decided to take a step back and understand that, you know.
Look at you studying a civil war at your own house.
I did it. My cousins and my sister did it. I'm so grateful for it because now we're all better people for it.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Aw, that is so smart. But you know what? And I love my extended family that I have mm-hmm. today. I love the people that chose to be a part of my life. And the beautiful thing about that,
I mean, I still choose it every day. It's a rough choice, though.
Right? It's a daily reprieve for this bitch. I don't have a choice. Otherwise, you know, like... She shows up at my door and I'm like, fuck.
While she's sleeping.
Right? When she came in today, I opened the door and I'm like, I'm sorry, I already have a vacuum.
And I said,
But she didn't leave. Like she pushed the door open. I was like, fuck.
I said, me and my vacuum are coming in.
Right? So, support.
Underwires.
Underwire. I hate those things, girl.
I love them.
And see, and this is what I mean, because like some of us need support just like that underwire, mm-hmm. but some of us are not comfortable with that support.
Nope.
So if you need to support
choose
someone,
your support wisely.
Exactly. Choose how to give your support. What do I mean by that? Here I go answering my own question again. This bit. So... choosing how to support somebody else is so important, because I know that we're dedicated and that we're willing and that we have the best intentions in life. But what's happened sometimes
what you guys don't see is that she is literally like shoving her fist in the air. Like, yes,
you know, like, we can do this. And sometimes our passion and dedication to be supportive to somebody else may be a bit overwhelming for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might be stepping boundaries, you know, we might be like over, help me with words.
Oh, with that beautiful accent. Overstepping boundaries.
Overstepping boundaries.
And.
You just literally repeated the words that I just freaking said.
I'm helping.
We're gonna test her before she leaves today. Yeah. This calls for our UA. She literally just repeated, just regurgitated. There you go. You know what he reminds me of again? Pumba and Timon. When they find Simba, he's like, "Hey, we should keep him, raise him, and feed him. And when he grows up, he'll protect us." And Timon is like, "That's a stupid idea. Wait, maybe we should keep him, feed him, and raise him, and he'll protect us when he's old." And then Pumba's like, "Oh, you're so good. Like, I wish I could have your ideas." That's what she's trying to do me right now. She tried to be the Timon to Pumba. She said, overstepping and I'm done. But back to the topic. Like, make sure that you're aware of the level of support that the other person needs. And I think that that's mainly done by active listening.
Mm.
If you pay attention to
what
they're
saying. What's active listening?
Active listening is where you actually are not just, it's part of effective communication,
mm-hmm.
which means for the longest, and if you meet me, you will find this to be true. For the longest, I thought that communication was me talking.
Yep, that's how you communicate, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
how I communicate. I communicate with LG talking. Yeah.
Kind of like that, you know?
Yeah. I can't communicate because LG's talking.
And the problem with that is that we miss what the other person is trying to tell us when we mm-hmm. want to do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, like, are we hearing the other person with intention?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we just listening to analyze what they're saying? And in my brain, because this is me too, like, I was analyzing what you were saying because I wanted to say something more profound, that it was like, oh, look at me being mm-hmm. holier than thou.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really listening to the other person to listen to them. I just wanted to sound better than them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I think I get caught up into a lot is that I know that I'm not going to say the most profound thing. I'm only going to be able to tell you what I experienced and how I got out of it. But I get so caught up, especially in the recovery rooms, but also with my family, because there are no other queer people in my family that can educate them. I'm the only one. So I feel like I have to always say the profound thing, not the right thing, not the wrong thing, the profound thing. Like, I want them to get it. I don't know if you can hear my snapping, but I want them to get it. So the problem with that, though, is that instead of giving them the right education as far as my experience goes, I'm trying to be holier than thou St. Peter about it with the Catholic Church and the priest, you know? Well, no. We're not Catholic, but anyways.
You do enjoy me a good priest. But what I'm trying to say is, like, for example, in what you just said, and it goes exactly with what I just said, which, again, Timon. What I'm trying to say is, because I can't stop laughing. So, okay, I'm going to edit this. So, with that said, I think that my problem is not really listening to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people come up to me and they're like, you know what, I want to vent.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind blocks all of that shit because I'm listening to what they're saying. I'm like, okay, here's the advice, and this is what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't ask me for advice.
Nope.
So be mindful and be engaged in active listening with the other person so that you can better help them and hear what it is that they need from you at that time. Mm-hmm. Because like I said right now, sometimes we just need someone to hear us, mm-hmm. you know, like to pay attention to what we're going through. And if we need advice, we'll ask for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're willing to listen to the other person, you will hear it
mm-hmm.
in their comments. You will hear it in their voice. You will see it in their demeanor, facial expressions, you know, like body posture. Like, they will let you know that they need your feedback. But if not, just listen.
Yeah. And, you know, we cannot put words together today, apparently. I think that family support is immeasurable in the queer community. Transgendered or not. What is wrong with me today? Not talk.
Okay. I could tell you what's wrong with you, but
I'm going to start over. I think that it needs to be said that family support is absolutely crucial for the success of people in the queer community. Transgendered or not, it doesn't matter. Any kind of child that's out there that's struggling with anything, having the family support behind them changes everything. The last 4 years of my life have been so much better because of the support that I have from my family and friends. I mean, I have a friend that I've only had for a few years, but he has by far exceeded any expectation I ever could have had for a friendship. And I can go to him and I say, I need you to listen, and he's going to listen. And then I'm going to go to him and say, I need you to listen, and then solve it. He's going to say, I can't solve it, but I can listen. And I think that's the kind of friendships that we need.
Oh, so I have my niece, right? And one thing that I admire about her the most is that she calls me with a situation, never expecting me to solve it for her. Mm-hmm. What she does is this, okay, OG, so this is what happened. Mm-hmm. This is how I felt. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm going to deal with it. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah.
And prior to this, I would like give her advice. I would do this. I would do that, because I wasn't really listening to what she was saying. The other thing that you said that I really like was the support that we need from our community, not just from our community, but anyone who's a human being, yeah, and has a heart. Be mindful of others. Our words, even though it's everybody else's decision and it's my choice to make your words into whatever I want them to mean in my life, it is also our responsibility as people who is healing to help others to heal. Mm-hmm. You know, me attacking your belief, me talking shit to you, me doing this, like, that's not going to help.
No. Nope.
If I don't agree with you, I just tell you, I don't agree with you, but I still love you. It's not about changing your mind. You can do that on your own. Mm-hmm. I believe that people are good enough to make good decisions.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need a little guidance. Be that light for that other person.
Amen.
Amen to that. Yas, queen. So with that said, Maddie.
Yeah.
What would you close with today?
What would I close with today? I would close today with, this week has really brought to light the amount of support that I do have that I forget that I have on a daily basis. And knowing that I have so many people that are just a phone call away that I can talk about anything with, and know that they're not going to try and therapy me. They're just going to listen. And that makes all the difference. And so I think that for those that have the ability to listen actively, like LG said, you're going to make a bigger difference in that person's life by doing that.
Fuck yeah. Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, what am I going to close
with?
Oh,
hey. So, LG.
Yes, man.
What are you going to close with?
Oh, wow. Thank you for asking, Maddie. So, I'm telling you, bro.
Listen, you're the hostess today, okay? I'm not.
So, what I'm going to close with is this. And it's more of a challenge. Call 1 to 3 people in your life and tell them why you're grateful for having them in your life.
Ooh,
let me explain it to you why. And I'm going to tell you why. We did that exercise yesterday with where I work out. And the reason is because sometimes we need to hear from other people,
amen,
that we're doing good, that we matter, that we are worth being in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only for that, but also being in gratitude and acknowledging that there's good things in my life, especially people, helps me to stay focused in the present. It allows me to be grateful for the things that I do have rather than to dwell in the things that I don't have. So I challenge you to call 3 people in your life and let them know how grateful you are to have them. Not only are you going to bring their spirits up, but it's also going to bring yours up by realizing that, dang it, I am blessed to have them.
Uh-huh.
Just as I'm blessed to have Maddie.
I'm blessed to have you.
And with that said, this is LG.
And this is Madison.
And this has been Chance Experience.
Adios.
Hasta luego.
Deuces.